Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 16th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Gettys.
Let's him host Bless. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Tim. You know, yeah. I had a good weekend. I'm all rested up, hung out with the homies.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. You know, it was an okay weekend. You know, a lot of errands and stuff on Saturday. And then Sunday, I was feeling really hot. Like, you know, it wasn't really that hot outside, but for some reason I was just flush. And I was just like, I need some like ice to cool down. You know what I'm talking about? Now, and then all of a sudden you showed up at my house.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I got the call too. Cause I was also feeling really hot. I did the thing. I've been doing this thing recently where I've been putting grapes in the freezer. I don't know if you tried this, putting grapes in the freezer, letting them freeze and then eating them that way. Oh, fucking dope. But yeah, I got the call from you and you're like, hey, I need some help. I'm feeling hot today.
I'm feeling hot. And then Blessing, you came through with what? Yeah.
I came through and I delivered the ice, Tim.
Oh, I delivered the ice. Baby. Oh, baby.
My God. Look at
us. Is that Sonic the Hedgehog bling?
Oh, yes, it is, Tim. Yes, it is. Look at this. Tim's got the Sonic the Hedgehog from King Ice. I'm rocking the shadow. Look at that.
Oh. I thought you celebrated 30th birthday, everybody. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Happy 30th birthday, Sonic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that you're rocking the Sonic bomber jacket at the same time.
Had to do it. And look at you looking way too good with that denim.
This might be the freshest episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily to date, everybody.
Yeah. Take it all in, everyone. Take it all in, because I'm feeling icy.
I'm feeling icy too, Tim.
Thank you, Barrett. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Control hitting 10 million players, Phil Spencer loving the Steam Deck, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, except for today where we're live at 9 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Tim, I wasn't joking around about hanging out with friends over the weekend, and I happened to have the ice on me when I was hanging out with them. I was hanging out with Yusef and Belinda, and I told them about the ice. I showed them the ice, and they were like, what is the market for Sonic the Hedgehog bling? And I was me and Tim are the market for Sonic the Hedgehog bling. And they're like, how many people their follow-up question was, how many people are going to buy this for the meme of it? And I was like, you guys don't understand, everybody's gonna buy this for the meme of it. Yes. That is the market for it, and I can't believe that we got it.
God bless King Ice.
It's so good. God bless King Ice. Housekeeping for you. We got a new episode of the Kind of Funny XCast that is up right now with Mike, Gary, and Barrett Courtney talking all about Xbox at Gamescom, Hades, and Halo. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And then today, Kind of Funny is hosting the Marvel's Avengers War for Wakanda launch party starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time over on twitch.tv/crystaldynamics. Greg and Miss Marvel herself, Sandra Saad, we'll be hosting 2 hours of gameplay, dev insight, and cast interviews. And then also, yes, Black Panther himself, Christopher Judge, will be there, and you should too. It's happening right after this at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/crystaldynamics. Then on Wednesday, 6 a.m. Pacific time, we're waking up and reacting to that Pokemon presentation. Isn't that right, Tim?
Oh, unfortunately, it is. I'm excited for the presentation. Not excited for the time, but I will be there. Roger Percorni's going to be there. Oh. Andy Cortez is going to be there. Blessing, are you going to be there? No pressure.
I like that you're utilizing Roger since it'll be 9 a.m. for him.
Exactly.
Well, that's actually a smart move. I didn't think about that. Huh, mm-hmm. I mean, it's Pokemon, right? It's Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, and it's Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yeah,
and
which I here's my
Pokemon
guess.
Legends, I'm gonna have to wake up.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be there for that, because who knows? My expectation is we get a delay for Legends that they announce here, but I think we will see more of it to like kind of soften the blow a little bit.
I mean, how much of a delay? Because all they said is early 2022, right?
Yeah.
They said
we're getting close to early 2022.
They said January 2022, I think.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Like second half of 2022 then? Maybe November next year?
I don't know, but I can see them just delaying it. Like being like, yo, we were crazy saying January. And like just being like, it's 2022 for now. For now.
What else do you think we get anything that's not Pokemon Diamond and Pearl and Arceus?
I don't know. I mean, maybe some little things, but like that's a lot, right? That's three whole games, like one brand new thing that people are extremely looking forward to, and you know, two highly anticipated remakes. Like there's a huge fan base for Gen 4. So I don't think they really need to go too much deeper with other stuff, but like there always is some weird little thing. Like maybe we'll get some Pikachu bling. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? I would
1000% all the EVs, dude. I want the whole evolution line.
If they announce, let's say, 5 pieces of Pokemon bling, what Pokemon are you going with?
Well, what am I going to choose, or what would Nintendo choose? Because Nintendo would probably.
What would you want Nintendo to choose?
They would choose Charizard, Pikachu.
You think they would go Charizard?
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the most popular Pokemon, period.
Okay. See, I would have said Eevee, Pikachu, and like three of the starters, like maybe Charmander, Squirtle. The other guy.
Charizard kind of like overtakes any of them in terms of popularity. Like he is the most popular starter related Pokemon of all time.
Okay, that's fair. What else would you want from Nintendo?
I mean, dude, I'm all about. I love the idea of the evolutions, all of the different ones. That'd be freaking sick.
That would be sick. I think new merch announcement would be dope, because what at the last presentation, or at least at the presentation a few years ago, they announced Pokemon shirts, which was a thing. I'd be down with it with another like line of that. Maybe Pokemon pants. Give me a new Pokemon something. New so Pokemon merch.
Pants.
I'd be down for. I expect some kind of Pokemon Unite update. And then give me an update on Pokemon Sleep. Where is that at? I know I talked about that late last week.
They're sleeping on it, man.
Yeah, they're sleeping on it. Give me Pokemon Sleep. I need to fix my sleep schedule. I need to get back on the sleep grind. Tim, there's still more coming out this week, like Kind of Funny Games Cast, which is coming out Thursday morning this week, and that'll be your Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut review, so look out for that. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Canva, HBO Max, and KiwiCo, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be. The Warp Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Control has passed 10 million players, and Remedy is working on 6 whole games. This is from Wesley LeBlanc at IGN. With Control having passed 10 million players, Remedy Entertainment has entered full production on its upcoming game project with Epic Games. This was revealed in a new investor letter released today, alongside the news that Control's revenues were slightly higher in Q2 2021 than in Q2 2020. Remedy cites the studio's commitment to actively marketing Control, Control Ultimate Edition's launch on Google Stadia, and Control's inclusion in the Epic Games Game Store Mega Sale 2021 as reasons for the game's continued success. Quote, overall, new platforms, services, and special offerings give us valuable lessons for the future, bring additional revenue, help us to reach new audiences, and increase Control brand awareness. Control has already reached a formidable audience, having been played by over 10 million players. The growing audience and brand awareness are valuable as we continue to support Control, end quote. The letter also reveals that its big-budget game project being developed in partnership with Epic Games has moved into full production, and that the studio's 4-player cooperative PvE game set in the world of Control, known as Condor, has been solidified thanks to a new co-publishing and development agreement with 505 Games. In case that's not enough, Remedy mentioned in the letter that it is also agreed on collaboration terms for a future, bigger-budget Control game with 505 Games as well. Elsewhere, Remedy is continuing to develop the story mode for Crossfire HD and Crossfire X2, while also, it's Crossfire X also, not like Crossfire X2, there's only one Crossfire X currently, while also continuing its full production focus on a second smaller scale game with Epic Games. Don't forget about Vanguard either, which is the studio's free-to-play co-op game project. Remedy says it's, quote, progressing at a good pace with selected internal and external closed gameplay tests, end quote. Just last month, we learned that Remedy was working on yet another game, bringing the total to six. The letter says to meet the production of these six games, the studio's headcount has grown to 293 employees. Tim, how do you feel about six games from Remedy?
I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? Like, it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about Control, which is a multi-game of the year winning video game, as seen by the footage that Barrett just showed, like even IGN's game of the year that year. Like, that's a really kind of lauded team, right? And working on six games and going through the article you just read, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of Crossfire HD, Crossfire X, like all these things that I think a lot of core gamers wouldn't really like get excited about hearing, especially a team like Remedy working on. But six is a big enough number that like there's probably some big surprises in there. Like, we know everyone's kind of been assuming that at some point we're going to get an Alan Wake sequel, like a full-on Alan Wake game, and I think that you know, there's enough yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
I feel like that is an inevitability. It's just a matter of time. And I think that if it weren't for the state of the world, we would have heard about it already. Like, I think that it's sooner than later in their pipeline. But you got to imagine with Control having 10 million players, like Control 2, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
It must be in early development of some sort. So
yeah,
that's exciting for people. I mean, like Andy.
They talk about the next big Control game being bigger budget, bigger scope, it being a bigger game, which sounds really exciting. Like, I love Control. I know so many people love Control, and Remedy as a studio is a very good, very talented studio. And so to hear that they are expanding and working on more projects, I think it's super exciting. I think there's the other half of it that can be worrisome, which is how much they're increasing in headcount and in the amount of projects they're working on. Because this reminds me a little bit of something like Telltale, where Telltale had that hit with The Walking Dead. And they started making deals, they started making partnerships, and they started working on more and more games and expanding. But expansion isn't always a good thing depending on how you handle it. Like, that can lead to teams being stretched and quality not being maintained in a way where when you have a smaller team that you know how to work with, you're able to do stuff, or you know what you're doing, right? You're able to make the games that you know how to make, and you're able to make something that hits magic like Control. But when you expand out and don't manage that expansion, you get to the place where teams aren't talking as effectively as they should be. Scope gets out of control. You start you might start feeling too big or bigger than you should feel. You start feeling out of control. You know, it reminds me of Cyberpunk a little bit as well, where, you know, Cyberpunk got on the track of being Cyberpunk because they put out The Witcher 3 and we're like, hey, we're too big to fail. Let's scope up. Let's make the biggest game ever as our next game. And all of a sudden that flops because they let things get out of control. I'm not saying that that's going to happen to Remedy, because again, Remedy is also a talented studio, but the fear is always there. If it can happen to CD Projekt Red, it can happen to anybody.
Totally. Now, I do think that the kind of devil's advocate to what you're saying is there's a lot of money behind this and behind Remedy. And a lot of these games, they're not fully making, they are just making a mode of the game. So they're not necessarily responsible for dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, right? So whether that's the different Crossfire games or whatever, you know, them working with Epic Games on like bigger other things, like 293 people is simultaneously a lot and not that many people to be working on that many games. But if it is kind of specialized modes here and there, you know, they're obviously doing this for a reason. I think that they have that beautiful, there's the triangle of you can do it fast, you can do it good, or you can do it cheap. And you can only choose two of those things, right? Like, you never get all three. And yeah. I think with them, this might be one of those plays where they have the money and they have the talent. So it's like they have the quality there. And they, for what they're doing here, they kind of have the time. Like, they're working on enough projects that they don't necessarily need to hit each one of them like right away. It's like it can kind of like one thing can fund the next and kind of like keep working in a nice momentous way.
Oh yeah, 1000%. And I in theory, a Control multiplayer game would hold people over to what Control 2 may be. Like, we don't need Control 2 next year. We can wait a few years before we get the next Control. And if you have a Control multiplayer game in between that, it reminds me of Last of Us with Last of Us Factions, where we're just coming off of the Last of Us Part 2. Last of Us Part 3 feels so far away, right? And this is in a transition.
I wanted to know.
But, like, you know, that feels like it's forever away. But for people who are fans of The Last of Us, for people who are hardcore about it, we know that we're probably going to get Factions in the next couple of years. We know that we're probably going to get maybe a new Naughty Dog IP in the next couple of years. We're going to get stuff that holds us over to that next title. Mm-hmm. And it seems like with Control, that is an IP that is so successful for them right now that it is probably a smart move to try and build into that and create either spin-off titles or or alternative titles that feed into the IP and maintain that IP as something that continues to grow and builds different kinds of audiences. And so if you can have a Control single player audience that thrives off of the campaign, thrives off of the lore, the universe, the gameplay, but then have also your multiplayer audience that loves the updates, loves hopping in every few months when there's a new Control multiplayer season, then that's a beautiful thing with an IP like that. And that is going to continue to carry Remedy forward.
Yeah. And, you know, without belaboring the story too much, one point I want to bring up that I think is really cool is we're entering this new era of video games where even single player games can kind of have a second life in a way that they've never been able to before, where before a game would come out and everyone's talking about it. There's a zeitgeist around it. There's a marketing blitz around it. And you're either in that wave or you're part of the, if I'm being honest, majority of people out there that are going to wait for things to go on sale and, you know, maybe borrow it from a friend or whatever, like there's that wave, but that wave doesn't necessarily have the like spike in conversation about it. Right. Whereas now, because of things like Epic Game Store and Game Pass and Stadia and like the streaming for video games, there's these like random marketing opportunities for quote unquote old games to be delivered in ways that feel new and fresh and will be new and fresh to so many people. So instead of having to wait for a game to go on sale, it's kind of like given to them already in different forms, whether it's, oh, hey, sign up for Stadia, you get it free, or just it's on Game Pass, or like these different avenues allow games to kind of have a second jump off point. And like it could give things like Titanfall 2 a renewed life, right? To kind of then gain interest to get these numbers to then get a Titanfall 3 or to get sequels to games made that wouldn't necessarily have been greenlit in the past.
Yeah. And I think that comes back to what Remedy cites as the reasons why Control is so successful still, right? Like it's the continually marketing of, like, they're continually marketing the game in a way that for Remedy, since that is their main title, that is their focus, they have the bandwidth to be like, cool, let's continue to market Control, let's continue to advertise this thing, let's continue to talk about it, let's launch Control Ultimate Edition and relaunch it in a way that gets it on people's minds, even though like there were some aspects of that launch that bungled it a little bit in terms of the availability and the launch structure of it. But nonetheless, right, relaunching that game seems to have done a lot for it. And then, yeah, like you said, right, putting it on Google Stadia, figuring out different ways people can experience it, putting it on the Epic Games store mega sale in 2021, right? Like, all of these have boosted the game in a way that for Remedy as a studio, again, Control being their main game, they're able to do that. They're able to give it that focus, and that's going to be so good for that IP in the long run. And so, curious to see what these six games look like for Remedy. I am excited for the Control multiplayer game. Like, I really want to try that out. I think that is a promising idea. And I'm also curious to see what these games are that they're working on with Epic Games are, because Epic Games, I remember when they put out the graphic of, hey, we're working with these developers to make games, and it was Remedy, it was Gen Design, which is Ueda's studio, Ueda from The Last Guardian and Shadow Colossus and Ico. It seems like they have an interesting thing going in terms of partnering with studios, and they have a vision. Given what that graphic was, I want to know what that vision looks like in fruition, because I want to see what Gen Design's next game is. I want to see what Remedy makes exclusively for Epic Games. Like that they have an interesting lineup in terms of studios, and that could be something really cool and special. Tim, let's talk about story number two. Xbox head Phil Spencer loves the Steam Deck. This is Jared Moore at IGN. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has managed to get his hands on a Steam Deck early and says that playing Xbox games such as Halo through Xbox Cloud Gaming feels good on the handheld. In a tweet, Spencer confirmed that he'd spent the best part of a week with the upcoming portable PC before congratulating the Steam Deck team. Quote, "After having mine most of the week, I can say it's a really nice device. Games with me on the go, screen size, controls are all great. Playing Halo and Age feels good. xCloud works well. Congrats, SD team." The Steam Deck is able to stream games through Xbox Cloud Gaming thanks to the fact that it's just a PC, despite its console-like form factor. This is the end of the Phil Spencer quote. There wasn't an end quote there, so end quote. This means that simply opening the web browser and going to Xbox.com is all you need to do to access the Xbox Cloud Gaming Library. Well, Spencer might have been granted an early edition of the Steam Deck, the console is set for general release in December. Off of this story, I want to pull in a question from anonymous Ronin, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, with Phil Spencer saying the Steam Deck is perfect for Xbox Cloud Gaming, is Steam Deck the secret answer to Xbox competing with the Nintendo Switch? Could the Steam Deck become the most popular platform for xCloud? Tim, those are two different questions. Where do you want to start with both of them?
But not in a negative way. I just think that it's going to be immensely popular in other forms. I think that TVs are going to be the biggest form once that really gets figured out and kind of normalized across smart TVs, where there's just an xCloud app or a Game Pass app built into every LG TV, every Samsung TV, every Sony TV. Maybe not Sony. Maybe Sony. I don't know. Things are weird, right? It's a whole new world we live in. So the Steam Deck is really interesting because Greg pre-ordered one, and I was like, are you going to get one? I'm like, no way. Like, I have no need for this. And he was just like, you're going to change your mind. And I was just like, there's no way in hell I changed my mind. And I got to say, I still haven't changed my mind, but I got to admit when I'm wrong. And I watched Linus Tech Tips video breaking it down, and I did get an ounce of that, like, oh, I want the shiny new thing feeling that I never thought I would have for this thing. I'm still not getting one, still not trying to get one, but I did have that like tinge of like, oh, these motherfuckers are getting me. They're getting me on the hype. And it looks really good.
If you told me that they would announce a new Nintendo Switch model and a new Steam portable thing around the same time, and I would pre-order/reserve the Steam portable thing, I would have told you that that's a damn lie. And I did. Like, I reserved a Steam Deck just because, like, the technology looks like it's there. You know, I think it's a really cool idea. I made fun of it on Twitter because the buttons look like they're about to fall off the controller because of how far up they are. But aside from that, right, like, the idea of being able to play big budget games like a Witcher 3 or a Control or whatever the game is on a handheld system. I know I named games that are on Nintendo Switch, but beyond those, right, like big budget PC games, being able to play that on a handheld device sounds super cool to me. And even for things like xCloud, I know I could play xCloud on my phone. I don't love playing games on my phone. I'd rather, if I'm going to play a game handheld slash portable, I'd rather have it be a big screen. I'd rather play it on something that is dedicated. And Steam Deck for me does seem like a pretty cool xCloud device if I want to use it that way. Like, there's enough there in terms of the technology and in terms of like how good it seems like it's going to be able to run stuff and play stuff that I'm like, I want to give this thing a try because it seems kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting, and I watched the Linus Tech Tips video, which I recommend to everybody. It's a really, really, really fun, good breakdown of the Steam Deck, and it definitely got me more excited for it. But it also just got me excited for the idea of handheld gaming in a way that I've never really given credit to it. Like, I love handheld gaming, obviously, because of Nintendo being in my life my entire life, and I'm a huge fan of the Switch. I, unlike you, did get the OLED Switch because that's what speaks to me a little bit more.
Let's go.
And I can't freaking wait for it. But yeah, here's the video. Thanks, Barrett. But what I did this weekend was I finally busted out my Backbone controller for iOS that Greg's been talking about forever. I ordered one a long time ago, and I never really I messed around with it for a little bit, but I was like not fully getting in. This weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to – do I need a Steam Deck? I know I have this, like, thing in me that's saying I want this, but I didn't even use this thing enough. And I set it all up. I booted up Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on my iOS, and I played halfway through the game, and I'm like, this thing is amazing. And I was like, all right, cool. It's a 2D platformer. Like, this isn't, like, the most insane thing ever. But I'm realizing that I'm playing this game on an OLED giant screen iPhone. right? Like, that's pretty damn cool. It was working great, and obviously that was an iOS game on it. But then I was like, I'm going to look in to PlayStation Remote Play. I've never done it before. I'm going to try xCloud and, like, get into that stuff. And I spent maybe an hour just messing around, getting Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remake, because I'm me, running from my PS5 to this, and I was like, oh my God, this works so much better than I would have ever imagined. And I feel like it's one of those, like, best kept secrets things where it's like, obviously people talk about it. I don't think people talk enough about how freaking crazy this shit is.
Yeah. I think it's the thing of it getting better and better over the years. Cause I remember a few things, right? I remember using PlayStation Now back in the day and being like, okay, this seems like cool technology that is maybe gonna get there down the line, but right now there's enough lag, there's enough latency, there's enough it doesn't look as great as just playing games natively. There are enough caveats there where I was like, all right, this isn't all the way there. I remember doing that. But also on the flip side, I remember back when PlayStation hadn't bought Gaikai yet, I remember Gaikai having this beta app on facebook.com where in like 2012 maybe I was playing Saints Row the Third via Gaikai on my browser on facebook.com. And this isn't something that I hear people talk about at all. Like, I don't know if this is like, if it just
you
happened for a short enough period.
This.
It's saying it out loud, it sounds like something I dreamt up, but like, I looked it up a few years ago because I was like, certainly this must have happened. And yeah, like, that was a thing that for sure happened. And I remember doing that and being like, what, this is the future? Like, what in the world? Like, of course it didn't play perfectly, but I was still like, what the fuck? I'm playing Saints Row 3 on Facebook.com. How in the world is this possible? And now we've finally gotten to the point, I think, where we're pretty much there in terms of this is a fine way to play a game. You can play a full game like this, and, you know, again, not the perfect way to play a game, but it's good enough to where it's fine for the caveat of I'm playing it on my phone. Cool. Like, if I can play something on my phone with this level of quality and this kind of experience, then yo, like, who cares if there's the tiniest bit of latency when it works this good? And I think as we go, still, like, that is going to get better and better.
Yeah, especially with internet infrastructure, like, hopefully being improved over the years as well. Because that's the one thing, that's the one caveat I still have. Like, you need to have a good enough Wi-Fi to be connected to your phone. Because our apartment, like, if we're not in the living room, the Wi-Fi is, like, a little spotty. And that's why we have almost everything hardwired in. So it's like I have to be in the living room for like the PS5 remote play to like work well enough, or at like the very end of my bed, which is like closest to like where the living room would be to like even have it work. So
yeah.
See, I'm coming in going from 0 to 100 where it was just like I've only heard the bad stories and it not working or whatever, and I was like so impressed with playing Sonic 2 on this thing that I was like, I gotta
when
try
it works,
this remote
it's,
play.
It's really great.
It's really cool.
That's my thing, is like my Wi-Fi is awesome and pretty even throughout my house, and especially where I was playing in my bedroom. And I was shocked at the quality of it, where I was like, holy fuck, this is working so well. To take this story one step further and to go back to the question of, will this be like the most popular use of the xCloud and all that? I think that I've said this for a long time. Xbox is going to release an Xbox Series something, little dongle that connects to your TV just like a Chromecast. And you'll be able to play xCloud, and it'll like help all that shit. That is going to be the answer, if not just embedded smart TV apps. Like, the future, we're there, guys. Like, it is not even close anymore. It's happening around us, and I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Tim, let's talk about story number 3. Nintendo orders a ROM site to destroy all of its games, or else. This is from Zach Zweizen at Kotaku. ROM Universe, a website where folks could download pirated copies of various Nintendo games and even pay a premium to get faster downloads, was sued into oblivion back in May of this year. But Nintendo wasn't done after suing the site for $2.1 million. In new court docs, a judge has ordered the owner of the site to destroy all of his Nintendo ROMs or face legal consequences. ROM Universe was first sued by Nintendo in 2019 for what its lawyers called, quote, brazen and mass-scale infringement, end quote. Nintendo won that lawsuit in May and was awarded $2.1 million in damages, which would be paid by ROM Universe owner Matthew Storman in $50 monthly payments. Tim, could you imagine paying $50 monthly payments of $2.1 million? It's fucked up. At least in theory. However, in July, Nintendo returned to court after Stormin failed to make his first $50 payments. The game publisher requested a permanent injunction against Stormin as it feared he might be willing to bring the site back online. And now there's more. As spotted by Torrent Freak, the judge has now granted Nintendo's injunction after taking another look at the case and the ongoing actions of Stormin. The court has now ordered Stormin to, quote, permanently destroy all unauthorized Nintendo games or other unauthorized copies of Nintendo's intellectual property, including movies, books, and music, end quote. The judge has given Stormin until August 17th, 2021 to comply, that's tomorrow, and until August 20th to file a declaration with the court verifying he has followed the judge's orders. If he fails to do so, he could face perjury charges. Also, as a result of this new injunction, filed late last week in U.S. District Court, Stormin can no longer distribute, copy, sell, or even play unauthorized Nintendo ROMs. He's also barred from using any Nintendo trademarks or logos. So if you're running a ROM site out there, hey, be careful.
I am just shocked it's taken this long. My entire life, I've always been like, how the hell do these websites exist? Because, you know, there's the emulation sites and like there's a lot of they stay on the up and up on the legal side of like, hey, like they always have the documentation that's kind of backing like what they're doing and what makes it legal and shit. Then there's these ROM sites that are just like, hey, here's everything. Here's all the Mario. ROMs. And then they're always just like, yeah, only download it if you own it. Wink, wink. And it's just like it's kind of it has the same energy as the people that are just like, oh, well, it's fair use because I only use 3 seconds of the song in my video. It's like, that's not how that works. Yeah, like you were completely off on this. Same thing with the ROMs, where it's like there's such weird misunderstandings of the legalities of it all. But yeah, here we are. This is happening, and it is definitely 20 years later than I thought it would be. Definitely sad in a lot of ways. Like when you look at it from just the preservation of these games, there's so many games that Nintendo will never re-release in different forms. So that sucks. Ooh. But, you know, yeah. The fact that they're giving people a couple days notice of this, you know, I'm going to stop talking there. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, you know. But, like, this is one of those ones where it feels like Nintendo is definitely making an example of a person to scare other people, because this is a scary thing, right? Being sued for $2.1 million and being ordered to basically destroy everything. That's terrifying, especially when you want to talk about the preservation aspect of it. And I wonder if it's not only that he was running the sites, but also he was running premium versions of the site. I wonder if that was where, if that's what crossed the line for Nintendo. Knowing Nintendo, they wouldn't want a site out there in the first place to be even allowing the downloads. But like, there, over the years, for as long as I've been paying attention to ROM and emulation culture, there have been so many sites that have pretty much any game you can think of from from your childhood, right? Like quote unquote retro games, and in a lot of cases, even more modern games, just available on there. And it seems like those have just been left up. Like when I'm not gonna name sites, but like there are sites that I go to that still have ROMs on there, and like periodically I'll see games come up and come down, and I'll see like platform like, okay, we're taking off all our Game Boy games for now, and then I'll check back a year later and the Game Boy games are back. You know, I see that type of stuff, and I wonder if we're going to get to the point where it becomes impossible to find these sites anymore because Nintendo has done the job in terms of scaring everybody away and really cracking down on this shit, because Nintendo really is very precious about these games. I wonder if we hit that point, or I wonder if this is a case where this specific site, ROM Universe, goes away, but other sites stick around.
The Hydra, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you cut off one head, another grows.
That's how it happens.
Another grows. Remember, everybody, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us, aka Tim, tell you about our sponsors.
I'm going to tell you about them right now. This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. Many of us are plumbing the depths of our streaming platform, searching for something new to watch, looking for an entertainment fix. And if that's true for you, I have some suggestions. Do those suggestions rhyme with Ruicide Rod? They do. You can watch The Suicide Squad right now on HBO Max. We loved it. You can watch our interview series where we gush all about it. But then you can also watch the movie. And there's going to be a ton of interview movies actually coming out on HBO Max. Earlier this year, of course, we already did a review for Space Jam, A New Legacy. We got Dune coming up later. That's really exciting. What else? Oh, Scream. Scream and Review. We're starting this week, and you can watch the Scream movies on HBO. So that's cool. These titles and so many others are available in theaters and on HBO Max for a limited time at no extra charge to subscribers. Release dates are subject to change. So get on it and sign up for HBO Max at hbom.ax/KFGD. That's hbom.ax/KFGD to sign up for HBO Max, be able to watch The Suicide Squad and In the Heights and all the really, really cool movies that you can watch over there. Next up, I want to give a shout out to Canva. Making content is an essential part of what I do to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. Ever since we found Canva Pro, you can design anything like a pro on any device. It's super great. It helps with thumbnails. It helps with logo designs. It helps with just, honestly, the thing that helps us with the most is kind of just like general marketing things of like trying to get information out to you guys of like scheduling stuff and like announcing different things. So Canva Pro kind of makes helpless people when it comes to designing completely talented and be able to make dope looking graphics. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Whether you're a design professional or just getting started, designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. You can choose from thousands of professionally made templates that are easy to customize with simple drag and drop features or start from scratch. And when they say easy, it is really, really easy and really satisfying to get super cool looking graphics exactly how you want them. Just kind of plug and play, pick different stuff. They got really keen aesthetic eyes. So check it out. You can design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use the promo code KFGD. Just go to canva.me/KFGD to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/KFGD, canva.com/KFGD. And finally, shout out to KiwiCo inspires kids to see themselves as makers, engineering and creating their own innovative designs and outcomes. Ultimately, KiwiCo's mission is to provide the next generation of innovators with the tools and a foundation to become creative problem solvers and critical thinkers. The mission is to help kids build creative confidence and problem solving skills and have a blast while doing it. You know, while most of us here are kind of funny, if not all of us here are kind of funny, do not have children yet. Greg Miller's is on the way, and it's coming in hot, and it's coming in fast. And because of that, Greg Miller got some of this Kiwi stuff. He's really excited to play with the little panda crate with the future Miller kid coming out. Panda crates for ages 0 to 24 months, developed in partnership with Seattle's Children's Hospital. Each crate helps babies learn by doing what they do best, playing, exploring, and most importantly, interacting with the adults in their lives. Crates arrive every other month and are filled with 2 months worth of content. And they have different crates depending on age groups. There's the koala crate for the 2 to 4 year olds, the kiwi crate for 5 to 8, Atlas crate 6 to 11, 9 to 13. Come on, there's even one for 14 to 104 plus. That's cool. You know, kids come in all shapes and sizes and ages, I guess. That's just how it works. So where can you go? You can go to kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. That's kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. Blessing, back to you.
Back to me. Story number 4. Evo is back in person in 2022. This is from @Evo on Twitter. They tweeted this out on August 14th. We have loved the competition through our online events, but nothing beats live in-person tournaments between players from around the world. It has been too long since we have experienced the spirit of the fighting game community in person together. Evo is back in Las Vegas, August 5th through 7th in 2022. And I, for one, am very excited about this. I still haven't been to Evo in person yet, and that's been a thing I've been wanting to do for legit years. Yeah, like last year was going to be the first year I was going to do it, but Evo got completely canceled last year. And so I'm very excited that they are planning to do in-person events again. 2022, hopefully things are in a good enough place by then that can actually come to fruition. And yeah, it's very excited about this.
Yeah, the problem I've always faced is there's been a couple years where Evo and RTX are the same weekend. And it's like, God.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Or I think there was one year as Evo and Comic-Con, but I've never been able to do Evo. And also, it's like,
it's convention season, right? Because, like, what is that? It's that stretch from July into August. And so you have PAX.
Well,
yeah,
June with E3.
RTX. Yeah, June with E3. Theoretically, next year, right? RTX has leaned toward beginning July the last couple of years.
And I think next year they've confirmed that as well, that it's 4th of July weekend. But yeah, it's interesting because I've never, like, since I've done this whole thing, like, from IG until now, it's like I've never been to a convention just for fun. Like, it's always, there's always work to do and there's always something. So I feel weird going to a convention where there's not necessarily, like, work to do. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I want to go to Evo. I want to see that's the hypest thing in the world.
Tim, we could totally make a, like, we could do kind of funny Evo coverage. It wouldn't be the best coverage.
Yeah.
But we can make it kind of funny. We can make it a bit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. But speaking of live things that we want to go to, do we have a plan for Nintendo World? Like, has this been a thing that you've thought about at all?
My thoughts are, I got to wait for the world to
get
better and get a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, I can tell you for a fact, Bless, that at some point in our lives, me and you are going to ride a Yoshi together, okay?
Oh, 1,000%. While we're in Sonic Plane. We're going to make it happen.
Hell yeah. Show some respect. Smash Brothers Universe, baby.
Hell yeah. Last news story, story number 5, Call of Duty Vanguard reveal has been confirmed for Warzone on August 19th. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Call of Duty Vanguard will be officially revealed this Thursday, August 19th. That's according to an advert published on the PlayStation Store today, which confirms that the game will be shown for the first time via Warzone at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time. Sledgehammer Games started officially teasing Call of Duty Vanguard last week when multiple content creators received and shared a video from the game's publisher ahead of its expected reveal this month. Teasers also began appearing in-game via Warzone, with winning players being killed off by a mysterious character at the end of matches. Call of Duty Vanguard promotional material leaked earlier this week, with artwork revealing several additions planned for an open beta and more. Tim, you're not like a huge Call of Duty person. Is this something you're going to tune into, though?
No, definitely not. I'll look at the news story and we'll talk about it later. I mean, this makes sense for them to do. Again, we talked about this last week when this news first leaked. Like, I mean, we got to say it at the top. Activision Blizzard, fuck them right now. This is bad shit. We got to focus on all the important stuff going on there and the lawsuits and all that. And like, it feels really odd for them to be doing this, even though it makes sense. Of course, they're going to.
Yeah.
It being in Warzone, though, I think it's interesting marketing. We're seeing a lot more of that type of shift. And especially with Fortnite having all of its events and things, Ariana Grande and Travis Scott and all that shit, which is cool. But this Call of Duty just doesn't give a shit. They know what they have. They're like, you're gonna buy this, so we're just gonna put it out. And yeah. And that it is what it is. Or last week when me and you were talking about this leak, I was saying that like this is the latest it's been since we've had a Call of Duty announcement going into the new game. You know, because normally we get them in May or whatever. And a bunch of people tweeted me like, Tim, you're so off on that. Like the last couple of years, there's been pretty late reveals of the Call of Duty games before they come in. And it's like, oh, shit, things have changed like under our eyes. We just haven't noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very fascinated with the shift to doing reveals within games. Like you mentioned the Fortnite stuff with Ariana Grande, and they've been doing that for, I guess, like forever at this point, forever meaning being like three or so years. Ever since the Fortnite's become the hotness, they've been doing it. For Call of Duty Warzone, you know, I wonder what happens if Warzone starts to become less popular. Like if this time next year, if Warzone, let's say, has dropped by quite a few million players because people find more interest in Fortnite or Apex, or if Battle Royale just doesn't stay as popular as it is a year from now. I wonder if they are like, cool, let's go back to doing it in May, or cool, let's go back to doing an on stage presentation or on stage reveal. Either way, like this stuff fascinates me, and I'm curious to see what Vanguard ends up being. I know we have the leaked details of it, but I'm curious to see it actually on screen with the actual trailer and you know campaign voice lines and all this stuff that really gives a character. Cool. Yep. Tim. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that, but that's so far away. If I wanted to come out to mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Road 96 for Switch and PC, Volleyball Challenge for Switch, and then Throw Anything for SideQuest VR. Throw Anything, I want to say I played on PSVR, and it's a pretty interesting game. Like, the whole premise of that game was you're, like, at the top of, like, a tall building, and you look out of your window and there's like a bunch of zombies and monsters climbing up the building. And so you have to like look back, find anything in your room and throw it down at the monsters to knock them off the building. And so like you're like grabbing office supplies, you're grabbing like chairs, you're grabbing staplers and bullshit just to throw out of a window at zombies. If you have Side Quest VR, which I don't know one person who has Side Quest VR, but if you have it, I would say check it out. Give it a play. See if you enjoy it. New dates for you, Forgive Me Father and Lovecraft's Untold Stories 2 launch into Steam Early Access via PC on Thursday, October 28th, 2021.
I thought that was one game for a second, and I was like, God damn, no. That's a title.
those are two. I was like, damn, that's a long-ass title. No, those are two games, Forgive Me Father and then Lovecraft's Untold Stories 2. They both launched on the same day. They were included in the same press release, and so that's why it's phrased like that. But yeah, those are two different games launching Steam Early Access via PC Thursday, October 28th, 2021. And then War Mongrels is launching on October 19th on Steam. Deal of the day for you. This is from Wario64. Annapurna Interactive is having a sale on iOS. You can get the following games for cheap. Florence is 99 cents. Journey is $1.99. Flower is 99 cents. Telling Lies is $2.99. Gone Home is $1.99. Donut County, $1.99. Gorogoa, 99 cents. If Found, $2.99. And then The Unfinished Swan is $2.99. What a lineup of games. Go check out that sale. Annapurna has bangers. If I was to recommend one, actually, no, if I'm going to recommend three, because it's hard to even choose one, I would recommend Florence. I would recommend Gone Home.
Flower, baby.
Flower is dope to you.
Journey. Journey over Flower.
Yeah, if you haven't played Journey, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, Journey.
Yeah. But if you have played Journey, then play Flower.
But yeah, legitimately, all of these games are bangers. I know people who love each of these games. And so go check out that sale. Have a good time. Experience some of that Annapurna goodness. Tim, now it's time to squad up. Remember, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write in with your questions. You can skip the ads, but then also you can squad up with the community, just like Jordan Deeb did. Jordan Deeb writes in with a kind of funny Avengers community squad up and says, "Good morning, KFGD crew. With Avengers War for Wakanda releasing tomorrow, I would like to remind everyone that there is a Discord group for Kind of Funny Best Friends that want to play Avengers together. We have rooms for squatting up on all major platforms, so come in and find yourself a group to assemble with over at invite.gg/KFAvengers. That is invite.gg/KFAvengers. Thank you, Jordan Deeb. P.S. Wakanda forever. Go squat up with Jordan Deeb. Go squat up with the Kind of Funny community and have fun in Wakanda, everybody. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's where you write in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. We only have one you're wrong today, and it's from Hard to Find, who writes in and says, Tim is 1,000% going to get a Steam Deck.
We'll see.
This week's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are tomorrow, it's Janet and Gary. Wednesday, it's me and Andy. Thursday, it's Tim TM Thursday. And on Friday, it's Greg and Ryan Panagos. Of course, if you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is the War for Wakanda stream featuring Greg Miller over on twitch.tv/Crystal Dynamics. Go over there, tune into that, show Greg the love, get hype for some Black Panther content. And
we will
Avengers.
Be hosting it here too, so you can stick around here as well.
Oh, yeah, stick around, chat with the community, have a good old time. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.